Dear Heavenly Father, be our vision. Not be all else to us, save but thou art. I pray that through the preaching of your word, that would become ever more true of each one of us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians 6:21 to 22 will be our passage for this morning. Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians and Philemon, those four letters that Paul wrote, all have something in common. They were all written during Paul's imprisonment in Rome. So they're typically called prison epistles. Now, a lot of times we just get, now, yeah, the prison epistles, right? But I mean, prison epistles means something in the case of Paul. All four of these letters written by Paul probably around the year 60 AD, to put it in that perspective. And if you're reading through those books and you pay attention, you'll notice that Paul mentions his imprisonment and his chains a good number of times, kind of over and over and over again. In Philippians, he mentions his chains four times. In Colossians, two times. In Philemon, five times. Philemon, only one chapter. Paul mentions his imprisonment and chains five times. And here in Ephesians, which we've been going through, it was just last week we saw another mention of Paul's chains. You may remember that, when Paul said, "And pray for me, that speech may be given me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in this I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Earlier in the letter to the Christians in Ephesus, Paul already referred to himself two times as the prisoner of Christ Jesus, and then in chapter 4, the prisoner in the Lord. So it's kind of obvious, after all this, that Paul wasn't too bothered by his chains. I mean, he really, in a sense, he seemed to just put it out there, right? Hey, I'm in chains. I'm in prison. Now, at the same time, it was also a burden for him. At one point, he said to the Philippians, or to the Colossians, "Remember my chains." And so that was an asking for prayer in the midst of his sufferings. Because it was still sufferings for Paul. It was still Paul, he was always on the go, right? On these missionary journeys he took, traveling the world, and now he's sitting chained to Roman soldiers. That's not Paul's life. That's not what he would have chose for himself. But it's what God had ordained for him. Paul did not see his imprisonment as a sign of defeat or a cause for discouragement. But more than anything else, he was concerned for the churches. He said in Corinthians that he bore daily the daily burden of concern for the churches. And so in this case, Paul was concerned that they might be disheartened, that they might be discouraged by his chains. If you think about it, let's put ourselves in the Ephesians' shoes. Paul was the one who had first brought them the gospel. So many of us probably can remember who first brought us the gospel. And to this day, I'm sure, they hold kind of just a special place in your heart, that they brought you the gospel. Well, this is Paul that brought the entire church in Ephesus the gospel and had been used mightily by God to create the body of Christ there. Paul was the one who'd planted and established the church. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. So this just wasn't anyone who had shared with you the gospel. He was truly the Ephesian spiritual father in the faith. And I don't know that we can completely comprehend that for them. And yet, now, this same Paul is imprisoned specifically because of what he did for you. Think about that. He is in prison specifically because of his work and ministry in which he tirelessly labored on your behalf. And now, because he did that, he's chained up. How do you process that? In chapter 3, Paul said that he was the prisoner of Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles. And he certainly meant that in an encouraging sense, but I could also see some of the Gentiles saying, oh boy, is it my fault? What does this mean for Paul? You know, it wasn't cause for despair. It was a sign of God's great love for the Ephesians and of his own great love for the Ephesians. But for the Christians in Ephesus, if you were them, you can easily imagine that Paul's chains could be very disconcerting. Their fearless leader, I mean, the leader of the whole known Christian church in the Gentile world, right? He's in prison. What does that mean for the Gentiles? What does this mean for the future of the gospel that Paul has brought to them? And though we know the answers may be in our heads, and Paul had certainly given them the answers throughout the book, he remained concerned. Already, Paul's entire letter has been an answer to this. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 13, Paul said, and remember, this is what he said, "So therefore, I ask you not to lose heart over my sufferings on your behalf, which are your glory." I ask you not to lose heart. And yet, in spite of all this truth we have just got, right? I mean, we have just been lavish. We have just been fed with truth about Christ. He has triumphed. He is king. He is exalted into the heavens and seated with God at his right hand in the heavenly places. And we have been seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Okay, after all that, Paul is still concerned. At the end of the letter, he's concerned that his chains should somehow undermine all that he's just said to them and be a discouragement to the church. And so, he writes here in verses 21 to 22, we can bring up the next slide, it says, now, as he closes, as he comes to the very end here, we'll come to the end next week, but this is the concluding greetings. Now, in order that you also may know the things with regard to me, how I am doing, Tychicus, the faithful brother, the beloved brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will make everything known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very thing, that you may know the things concerning us. Already you can see the depth of Paul's love, of Paul's concern for the church in Ephesus, and not just by the fact that he's written this letter, but that he sends it by the hand of Tychicus. And I looked that up to make sure. I don't know that anyone really knows how you're supposed to say that name, but that seemed to be the consensus. So Tychicus was especially dear in your handout to Paul. Paul calls him the beloved brother. And he's not talking about some theological concept of beloved in Christ, although that's a beautiful thing. Paul's kind of coming down now to just a deeply personal level and saying, Tychicus is a brother especially beloved by me. Not only that, but he was a faithful servant in the Lord. He was from Tychicus, hailed from the province of Asia Minor, which is where Ephesus was located. And when we first meet Tychicus, he is accompanying Paul on his last trip to Jerusalem before his arrest, and then he would ultimately appeal to Rome. So here, it's possible, likely, we can't say this for sure, but it's likely, in fact, I think it's very likely, that Tychicus had ministered to Paul while he was imprisoned in Caesarea, back in Israel. And that he had accompanied Paul on his voyage to Rome when they had the shipwreck and all that, that Tychicus had been with Paul on that voyage to Rome. And then that Tychicus had continued to minister to Paul while he was imprisoned in Rome. Wouldn't that explain why, if you're Paul, you call Tychicus a beloved brother, someone who has stuck with you through everything? We can hardly imagine, I think, the comfort in your handout, the comfort and the encouragement this brother's companionship would have been to Paul, the prisoner in chains. And just in case we think that Paul was beyond needing companionship and comfort and encouragement, right? You know, when he was languishing in prison the second time, he wrote to Timothy and he said, "Come to me as quickly as you can. Because Demas has abandoned me being in love with this present world. I have sent Titus to over here and this person over here. And come to me as quickly as you can." Paul was in prison in need of companionship, of support, of love, and God provided that for him. And he provided that for him certainly through the beloved brother and the faithful servant, Tychicus. And yet when Paul sends now this letter far away to Ephesus, he will send it along with the letters to Colossians and Philemon. So Tychicus carried with him all three of these letters, we're almost sure. It didn't just mean stamping an envelope. It meant for Paul saying goodbye to a dearly beloved brother. And not for any insignificant period of time. This could end up being at least 6 months that Paul would be without Tychicus. And I don't know how much longer, because I think Paul sent him not just to hand the letter off, but to engage in ministry on his behalf there. So Paul was giving up this brother to bring the letter to the Ephesians. It meant losing one who was a personal comfort and encouragement to Paul in the midst of his imprisonment. And so now, I think we should ask then, why? Why does he do it? Why? Why send these letters by the hand of Tychicus? I mean, because certainly there must have been someone not quite as dear to Paul, maybe not quite as committed and devoted to Paul, that Paul could have found to send? Maybe not, I don't know. But couldn't he maybe have found anyone else traveling in the direction of Ephesus? Now, it's true that Paul wanted to be sure that these letters arrived safely. But for Paul, that's not the reason he gives. For Paul, there was another reason for sending the letters by the hand of Tychicus. You can go to the next slide, and it says, Now, what's the reason? Why does he do it? Well, Paul tells us. Look at the capitalized words. Now, in order that you also may know the things with regard to me, how I am doing. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful servant in the Lord, he will make everything known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very thing, that you may know the things concerning us. Now, it's easy to skim over these verses, isn't it, when we're reading through the book of Ephesians? But if Paul's wordiness and repetitiveness is to mean anything, then skimming over these verses would not be a smart thing to do. I mean, he says the same things in your handout, the word is mistake. It would be a mistake. Maybe you figured that out. He says the same things 2, 3, and even 4 times. I mean, something as mundane as this, why do you repeat yourself 4 times? He emphasizes that it's in order that they might know the things with regard to him. And then he says again, how he is doing, that he sends Tychicus, who will make everything known to them, whom he has sent to them for this very thing, that they might know the things concerning Paul. Well, I could have said that in 5 words, I think. He goes on and on and on. For Paul, to send a letter to the Christians in Ephesus, it didn't just mean stamping an envelope. It meant saying goodbye to a dearly loved brother and support in his imprisonment. So why does he do it? Why by the hand of Tychicus? Well, Paul answers, precisely because Tychicus is Paul's dearly beloved brother. That's why. He was qualified for the job because of that. And a faithful servant in the Lord, he was just the man to make everything known to the Ephesians. I mean, if you're going to send someone to give them every detail about how you're doing, you got to send someone who really knows the inside story. But still, we ask, don't we? Why was that such a big deal for Paul? Why did this justify the loss for Paul of this dearly beloved brother? Why did this justify the loss for Paul of this dearly beloved brother and faithful servant in the Lord? Why? What do you think? Paul writes, this is the beautiful thing. We can go to the next slide. It says, now, in order that you also may know the things with regard to me, how I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will make everything known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very thing, that you may know the things concerning us, and that he may encourage your hearts. Remember again what Paul said in chapter 3. So therefore I ask you not to lose heart over my sufferings on your behalf. There, what was the reason for not losing heart? It was all wrapped up in your handout. It was all wrapped up. You can guess the word by now, right? What is it? It was all wrapped up in the gospel. So to spell it out, the reason for not losing heart was this awesome reality that to Paul, the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles, that's you and me, the unsearchable riches of Christ. And to bring to light for everyone what is the administration of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. And now, here at the end of the letter, Paul is once again concerned that rather than losing heart, far from that, the Ephesians' heart should instead be encouraged. The Greek word here has the idea of being comforted, reassured, strengthened. But now the reason for their encouragement is different. Now it seems it's not the news of Paul's apostleship. It is the news of how Paul is doing and what Paul is doing and basically everything concerning Paul's circumstances. And why should that be such an encouragement? What is it about the news of Paul's circumstances that should lift the Ephesians' hearts? Well, let's think about it, okay? The first reason Paul gave for not losing heart was that he was appointed to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Now, the question can be asked, how is Paul to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ if he's in prison? What happened to missionary journeys? Isn't that when you're most effective? Isn't that when the most is being accomplished for the kingdom of God, when you're out there moving from city to city, unhindered, unfettered, for the cause of the gospel? At the end of Paul's letter, after all he said, the Ephesians could still be wondering, asking themselves, what do Paul's chains mean for his mission to the Gentiles? What do his chains mean for the future of the gospel that he brought to us, and upon which our very existence as a church is built? Somehow for Paul, somehow it is precisely the news of everything about him and what's happening and how he's doing that's going to answer these questions and comfort and reassure and strengthen their hearts. And now, in Ephesians, Paul doesn't say anything about what these circumstances might be. He just leaves Tychicus to pass on all the news in person, and we're left kind of out in the dark wondering what it was. Well, not really. Not completely. Because in Philippians, which was written about the same time as Ephesus, Paul gives us a clue as just the kinds of things Tychicus might have said when he writes in Philippians 1. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard. And if this refers to the guards that Paul was chained to, likely that was in four shifts. And so Paul constantly had a shift of guards, one after the other, coming in. His literally captive audience, right? Paul rejoiced in that. And to all the rest, everyone else in Rome who hears of my imprisonment, they know that it's for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. And so you see in Paul's heart. For Paul, if God chose to use his imprisonment as a way of emboldening others who were not imprisoned to share the gospel, then that brought him joy. For Paul, that was all that mattered. This is what I see in these verses that was all that mattered. One commentator says, here is a man for whom the gospel is bigger than himself, for whom the gospel is bigger than his personal role in making it known. See, Paul didn't say, God, I thought you said I was the apostle to the Gentiles. Paul said, okay, well, if God's using my being shut up here in prison, chained to guards, so that others go out and speak the good news to the Gentiles, that's all that matters, because the gospel is bigger than I am. The gospel is bigger than even my role in making it known as the apostle to the Gentiles. For Paul, if God chose to use his prolonged imprisonment, remember, you know, I mean, I could think every day that ticks by, Paul's thinking, okay, when are you getting me out of here, God, so I can keep going with the work. For Paul, though, if God chose to use sitting in prison so that his Gentile guards might hear the gospel, and also anyone else in Rome who heard of his chains, that brought him joy in your handout. That was the what? The only thing that mattered. And so Fee puts it this way. He says, this is Paul's obvious concern. He wants the saints in Philippi not to be anxious about him or about the gospel, because his circumstances, rather than being a hindrance to the gospel, as they might well believe, have in fact led to its advance. To advance the gospel has been his foremost passion. He has thus ordered his life and his feelings and his priorities so that nothing will hinder and everything will advance the message about Jesus. Because for Paul, the gospel was bigger than himself, therefore sitting in prison, that reality affected his feelings, how he felt about being chained to guards. And so I asked myself and I ask us, how then are we ordering our lives, our feelings, our emotions, our decisions? Luke writes at the end of the book of Acts, Paul lived there chained under Roman guard. I added that there, but Paul lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. At the end of Philippians, now this is really neat, at the end of Philippians you get this sense of triumph in Paul's words when he says, all the saints greet you, and especially those of Caesar's household, right? He had to be smiling when he wrote that one down. Because here he is in chains for the gospel, and yet as he's in chains, it conquers even in the emperor's household. This for Paul was all that mattered. Nothing else mattered. And then maybe we're saying, well, isn't that just because, well, he was more comfortable than he could have been? No, he was not happy to be, he would have rather been somewhere else than chained up. But yeah, his conditions were all right. Later on, when Paul was probably not just chained and under house arrest, when he was rather in the dungeon, awaiting his execution, he could write to Timothy like this. Remember Jesus Christ. To the end of his life, nothing else mattered for Paul. Risen from the dead, the offspring of David as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Paul was confident, even in the midst of his dungeon experience awaiting execution, that even then the gospel would go forth. That even with the death of the apostle to the Gentiles, even with his death, the work of God in Christ would not cease. And for Paul, at the end of the day, that was all that mattered. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. You see, this what we just heard, this was the kind of news. It wasn't, Paul wasn't saying, now here's the news I think will encourage you. I'm healthy, and I got plenty of food every day, and people are nice to me, and the guards don't beat me. That's not the news that Paul was saying would encourage their hearts. At the heart of the news that was to encourage their hearts was that the gospel was not bound, though the apostles to the Gentiles might be. This was the kind of news that Paul intended should comfort and encourage the Ephesians' hearts whenever they thought about Paul's chains and what those chains could mean for them. And so, I have to ask myself first, and then all of us here, is this the kind of news that most comforts and encourages our hearts? I look upon our missionary reports with a whole new light. As I hear the news of the spread of God's kingdom, is that what most comforts and encourages our hearts? And especially if we were to hear of the sufferings of brothers and sisters around the world, what is it that comforts our hearts in the midst of that? Fee is certainly right when he says this: the furtherance of the gospel is everything for Paul. Is it everything for us? It was everything for Paul. Is it everything for us? And if so, how? How? And you can write in whatever you want, but how? How is the, well, I shouldn't say just the furtherance, because we're not just talking here about evangelism. We're not just talking about missions. We're talking about the fruit the gospel bears in our lives and around us and the people around us and our families. How is the furtherance of the gospel everything for you, everything for me, in the context of our own heart's desires, of our calendars, of our checkbooks, of our families, of our marriages, of our friendships, and our workplaces? It was precisely this furtherance of the gospel, to come back to where we were here in Ephesians, it was this furtherance of the gospel among the Ephesians that explains now, here it is, right? The question we started with: why did Paul send this letter by the hand of his dearly beloved brother Tychicus, when it would mean for him the painful loss of someone who had ministered to him so faithfully. Why did he send the letter by Tychicus? Here's why. Because for Paul, even in his imprisonment, it was not his comforts that mattered. Everything in all the world is secondary to the triumph and spread and promotion and the general good and well-being of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now I want to ask you, and just take a moment, is there a part of your life that's not secondary? Is there a part of how you feel that's not secondary to the general well-being and good and spread and promotion of that wonderful, beautiful, precious treasure with which we have been entrusted, the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because, well, I ask another question, put it this way. Is it the promotion and good and well-being of the gospel that orders all of your priorities, all of your emotions and feelings, all of our decisions and choices, and all of our lives? Because if it is, then we will never have any reason to lose heart. That's good news. Even when we're led to deny our own secondary wishes and desires and longings, if it is, if the gospel, the promotion of it and its good and well-being is what orders all our priorities, all our feelings, all our emotions, all our decisions and choices, and all of our lives, then if that's true, we will never lack a reason, never, ever, ever, to have our hearts always comforted, always reassured, always strengthened, always encouraged. May what Paul wrote of himself in 2 Corinthians and of all the apostles also be true of us. Thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us, all that matters, spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. What is everything to you? What for you is the only thing that matters? Listen now, once again, as Paul, the prisoner in chains, writes these words. Now, in order that you also may know the things with regard to me, how I'm doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will make everything known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very thing, that you may know the things concerning us, and that he may encourage your hearts. Dear Heavenly Father, God, how blessed we are to sit at the feet of your word. How blessed we are to have been given a cloud of witnesses, among whom Paul is certainly one, who has not only conveyed to us the mystery of the gospel by revelation, but has set before us an example of someone who truly was sold out for the gospel of Jesus. Of someone who truly, for him, nothing else mattered. It was everything for him. Lord, I pray that for us, everything else is secondary to the fame of Christ's name, to the well-being and good and spread of that beautiful, glorious, precious gospel of Jesus Christ in our own individual lives, in our families, in this church, and in this whole world. Pray it in Jesus' name. And Lord, should there be, and certainly all of us stand in need of confession and repentance. But I pray that should there be anyone this morning who is holding out, I pray that you would conquer that resistance and bring your joy. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.